I would not recommend this to listeners, but we would coat our arms with hairspray and then set them on fire, and it would burn the hairspray, but it wouldn't burn our skin, and then we'd just dunk them in the sink. So that provided endless, fascinating hours of entertainment for us as 11-year-olds.
That's Mary Pauline Lowry. She's been obsessed with fire ever since she was a child, and she's pursued this obsession throughout her life by working as a member of a hotshot crew fighting wildland fires and writing a novel called Wildfire based on her experience. Steve Paulson sat down to talk with Lowry.
Mary, what was it about fire that you found so fascinating?
I thought about that a lot, and I am not quite sure. I think as humans, we're often drawn to one particular element or another. I think there's an intensity about it. There's something that's very visceral and of the moment about it. I don't know if I thought about it this way as a child, but fire either consumes and destroys or makes things stronger. And it's also a very strong element of regeneration, both in a mythical manner and in an actual manner. A lot of times forests that are burned, they grow back healthier than before. It's a natural part of forests for them to burn. And that's like a clearing element for fires. So I think even though I didn't have language for that at that time, that was something that I was very drawn to.
After you left college, you joined a hotshots firefighting crew. Can you explain what that is? What does a hotshots crew do?
So a hotshot crew is a group of 20 firefighters. They're wildland firefighters that live together, train together, work together, and travel the U.S. fighting wildfire together for 6 to 8 months a year. It's considered to be an elite fire crew. And they were originally named because hotshots were put into the hottest, kind of most dangerous parts of the fire. But then it's also a very appropriate name for hotshot crews because people that are on hotshot crews tend to think that they are hotshots. So there's a lot of machismo, a lot of attitude with that. And hotshot crews are typically, I think, about 90% male. Many crews have no women on them at all. Some crews have one or two women. But to this day, it's not a job that very many women do.
So why did you want to do it?
Well, I wanted to do it because I was always very drawn to fire. My best friend in college, Della, at that point was working on a fire crew that was what's called a type 2 crew that doesn't live together, that just is pulled together for a particular fire. But her sister, Addie, who was a little older than we were, was on a hotshot crew and was traveling all over the country with 19 men battling wildfires. And that just looked to me like the greatest job that I could have just coming out of school.
Now, were you the only woman on the crew?
No, the first year I fought fire, there were two other women on my crew. We actually started out with four and one was sent home for not being able to hang. The second year I was on the crew, there was one other woman.
And what was that like for you?
So when I arrived, I did not get a warm introduction. But then I'll say I don't think anyone gets a warm introduction when they arrive on a hotshot crew. Because the work is so dangerous and it's so crucial that you can trust the members of your crew, everyone goes through a period of being tested and hazed a little bit. And I just was arriving in a culture that was very different than the culture that I grew up in. I grew up in Austin in a relatively urban environment, a very Texas culture environment. I was working on a crew that was in Colorado with these guys that had grown up in the woods, very tough men. And so arriving was very, very intimidating. But my friends, Addie and Della, who fought fire before me, really had given me a strong education in how to act as a representative female on a fire crew. And there are many elements that have to be balanced. The first one is that you can never, ever complain. It doesn't matter if you're sleeping in a ditch in a rainstorm. It doesn't matter if it's 30 degrees and they can't get you a sleeping bag. It doesn't matter if you haven't eaten in 19 hours and you feel like you're going to faint. You can never, ever complain. So that was the first thing that they taught me. They also taught me that I had to show up fit. And so I trained really hard for that. And then they also told me that it's very important to not arrive on a hotshot crew thinking that you're the bachelorette. You know, you have to show up and really keep your sexuality under wraps. The more that your crewmates can kind of forget that you're a woman, the better you're going to do.
Yeah. Now, as I understand it, what you actually do on a hotshot crew is different than, say, what smoke jumpers do. I mean, you're not parachuting out of planes, you know, dropping down into a burning forest. You're doing something different.
Hotshots hike into fires, and often they hike pretty far into fires. Sometimes they're helicoptered into fires. Smoke jumpers, they jump out of airplanes to get to fires, so they are usually attacking smaller fires in more remote areas that are difficult to access, you know, where you can't hike in 4 or 5 miles off a road, where you really need to be dropped in. Once the smoke jumpers hit the ground, the job is similar in many, many ways, but no, hotshots do not jump out of airplanes.
And so what do you do, actually, as you're going in to meet this raging fire? What's your job?
The hotshot crews hike in to the fire, and then once they arrive at the fire, they create what's called a fire line. So they do not use water to fight fire. Instead, they remove fuel. So fire needs 3 things to burn. It needs oxygen, fuel, and heat. So a hotshot crew creates a fire line which removes the fuel. So there's sawyers on a hotshot crew and there's diggers. And so sawyers use chainsaws to create like a 15-foot break in the canopy of trees. And then diggers come through and scrape down a 24-inch down to mineral soil. So ideally, the fire will burn right up to the edge of that fire line and stop.
So you're removing the trees. I mean, you're removing the fuel. Are you also burning that line? I mean, literally fighting fire with fire?
Yes. Not on every fire that you go to. Hotshots do not fight fire with fire every day, but it's a tool that hotshots use frequently. So a lot of times hotshots will dig a fire line a ways out in front of the fire, and then they use drip torches, which are, they look like watering cans, but they're full of fuel diesel mix, and they have a flaming wick. So you pour this diesel fuel mix out and it goes over the wick and catches fire. So you're basically pouring this little like river of fire through the woods, and it catches the forest on fire right up against the line, and that area burns out. And then when the fire coming towards it arrives at that area that's already burned, it doesn't have anything to burn. And then ideally it's contained.
Boy, that sounds dangerous. And you really have to know what you're doing to be able to control a fire like that.
It's dangerous and it's really fun. I can't think of any other job where you're paid by the U.S. government to set forests on fire. It's very exhilarating.
Did you ever run into real trouble? I mean, do you ever sort of wonder if you were going to get out of there alive?
Oh, yes, absolutely. And while I completely trusted the leadership on my crew, I also knew that fire has a mind of its own. And so there were quite a few times where I was extremely nervous. And part of being a good hotshot is keeping that fear under wraps. But there were times when I would look at a buddy and say, when are you going to drop your pack and run? And they'd say, well, not yet, but, you know, it could happen. It could happen sometime soon. So, yes, there were many times where I was very scared of burning to death. And then there was also the constant danger of being hit by a snag, which is a tree that has been burned. So when you're in a forest that's been burned, there's all these trees that are still standing, but barely, because they've been burned out at the base or the roots. And so when they fall fast. So I was often just nervous being in a forest that was burned out like that.
Yeah, I can imagine. Now, you have actually written a novel based on your wildland firefighting experience called Wildfire, which really gives a visceral sense of what it's like to be a hotshot. And I'd love to have you read a passage from it.
Okay, so Julie, who is the protagonist of the novel, is working on a night burn with her crew. And so they have dug a fire line, and then they're going to burn off of it. So when you do that, you have a raging forest fire being held back by this strip of unburned ground, or this strip of fire line that's 24 inches wide that you've dug through the forest. So if the wind shifts, it can blow embers over that line that starts spot fires on what's called the green side of the line, the unburned side of the fire line. So this is a moment where Julie and the crew have lit backfire, and then they're waiting and the wind shifts, blowing smoke and embers over into the unburned side of the line.
Okay, sounds great.
Hogg came out of the smoke behind Archie, and then all three of us were chasing more spot fires together. The more we lined, the more sprang up around us. Then I saw that the spot fires were growing together on our green side of the line. Douglas was yelling, "Pike, we've lost our line! We've lost our line!" The spots had grown up and into each other, and there wasn't fire on the black side of our fire line and spots in the green. There was just one big fire, and our fire line hadn't held. "Get to our safety zone," Douglas was yelling, and I ran toward it. But spot fires had popped up between me and the fence, all of them melting together, and I was leaping back and forth to dodge them. Rockstar made it to the fence before the others. He set down his chainsaw and started climbing the fence, vaulting over the top. I picked up his saw and yanked the cord to life as the other pikers came barreling up behind me. They all began leaping and dancing because the flames were under us then. I stepped up to the fence and sliced through it with a chainsaw, creating a hole big enough for us to pass through. Archie grabbed the fence and pulled it wide open. Archie slapped my shoulder and raised his chin to say go, and I scrambled through. A whole army squeezed through behind me, and then we were splashing together out into the foul pond water. We stood there, waist-deep, as the fire burned all around us, an impenetrable sea encircling our little island of water.
That's Mary Pauline Lowry reading from her novel, Wildfire. She talked with Steve Paulson.